A little bit past high noon here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Ooh, 12-12, make a wish.
12-12, make a wish.
Didn't sound like a wish.
I wish for Zach Moss to cash.
Oh, yes.
In the Bozo touchdown parlay.
Yes.
If I say that out loud, does that undo it?
Yeah, probably.
It does.
Another reason to cash out, folks.
Cash out Keith says cash out the Bozo touchdown parlay. We're a little behind based on some Patriots guests here today. On a Patriots Monday, we talked to Hunter Henry. We talked to Christian Gonzalez. So we'll catch back up to speed. We have Week in Review, by the way, at 12:45. So mark that down. We went to break asking, are the Patriots closer to the first 2 weeks of the year? Beat the Bengals unexpectedly, competitive with Seattle into overtime, or are they closer to what we saw on Thursday night against the New York Jets? My fear is they're closer to that. And that they got by for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They should have beat Seattle. They didn't. That might even snowballed into some second guessing and lack of faith in the coaching staff, which carried over onto a short week Thursday against the Jets. I'm worried that, as the Twitch chat said, the number one pick is in play, and they are among the worst teams in the league. 3-7, 93-7. Guys, Tier Tuesday tomorrow, number one pick watch. Welcome to your Wolfpack's New England Patriots.
Oh, boy. Wolfpack might be the bottom
Wolfpack
tier.
Is its own tier.
That could be its own tier, Wolfpack. So the game that's given me a little bit of pause would be Seattle. Because Cincinnati, you say, all right, that's more to do with Cincinnati. And then the Jets game, it's like, all right, this is my concern with the Patriots, is they were going to look like this. But how did they stick with and hold on? And yes, they should have beaten Seattle, but they didn't. But that's the thing. That's what separates, you know, 10-win teams from 6-win teams, are those like those close games at the end. So they lost it, but in overtime, very respectable performance against Seattle, who just smoked Miami this past week. So that one's kind of giving me a little bit of pause. But just when you look at the roster and when you look at how are things going to turn around, I don't have a ton of faith in it. Like they are undermanned.
The only thing that turns it around is May. There's nothing else they could do where you're like, this is a pivot. This is a change. I'm not guaranteeing May would change it, but that's the only thing that gives me hope.
I got some coach nugs for you here. Coach Mayo, Andrew Callahan tweeted this out.
Okay.
According to Mayo, City So will practice today.
Oh, nice.
Is that anything?
How about that?
You?
Yeah.
He's been out since August 25th. That's a month. Vidarian Lowe. Sounds like you'll be limited. Quote, I wish I could sit here and give you a timeline, but I can't. And Kendrick Bourne, quote, he's making great progress.
Okay, well, that wouldn't be for week four. That would be for week
five. No, I know. But I'm just saying, like, Drake May is the one that we highlight as far as, like, who are you waiting on? But those are, like, City So is better than what you've had out there.
Yep.
Believe it or not, Vidarian Lowe is better than what you've had out there.
Vidarian Lowe might as well be Jonathan Ogden. Yep. You know, he might as well be like just an all-pro, all-time left tackle based on what else you've been rolling out.
And maybe Bourne, too. I mean, it really depends on how they even use the receivers. That might not even matter. Those guys might be open. They might not be. It's hard to say with the line and with Brissett, but he is a...
It'd be an extra weapon.
...veteran receiver, somebody you can actually rely on a little bit. So, I mean, those, I guess, are some of the reinforcements, if you will.
One more text here.
Yeah.
While we were talking about the Jets game and how it was foundation shattering. I like this one. 37937. And then we'll get to your phone calls. Guys, do you even give the Jets any credit? They had a good game plan for the Patriots first two games. Or I'm sorry, they had a good game plan for the Patriots.
Yeah.
The first two games the Patriots didn't look that bad. We're still in preseason mode.
Oh.
You know it takes 5 or 6 games for every team to get to know who they are. Give them a couple of more games. You guys are so negative.
All right, so if it takes 6 games for everybody to figure out who they are.
How'd the Jets figure it out?
I was going to say, well, they haven't.
Yeah.
They're going to get even better then. Like, yeah. Wait till they really. So
good
the
point.
Second time you play
good
the Jets,
point.
They're going to be like the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
Is what that sounds like. No, I understand that early in the season, like the classic, oh, it's an extension of the preseason. All right, that's fine. But the Patriots offense, we all kind of assumed was going to be one of the worst offenses in the league. That is playing out right before our eyes. And the defense we had hoped could be top 5, top 10, and that might be a little much. Maybe they're more like middle of the pack.
Yeah.
And then that combination is not good. Like, that is the combination of a long season.
A bad offense and a middling defense, bad combo.
What do you get with that?
No doubt about it.
Uh-huh.
So, no, look, I didn't like the preseason excuse. Like, oh, it's an extension of the preseason when it was Bill.
Yeah.
But at least it's like, okay, Bill's been coaching a long time. He understands when to push and what adjustments to make. I didn't like that excuse for Bill. It was like a built-in excuse the first month of the year if they ever dropped a game or two. But I at least kind of could wrap my head around it.
this whole year is preseason for May. He's never done it before. He doesn't know when to push the team or when to back off,
and I also
or what adjustments to make. He doesn't know.
I think it also might apply more to some of the like veteran teams, right?
Yeah.
Like, so if Aaron Rodgers, especially coming off an injury, 40 years old, skipping all the camp stuff, he shows up and he's not great week one, not shocked. Right? If week two, he's still like, okay, there's a little bit in there. But then he starts to figure it out. Like, yeah, that
no,
I guess.
You benefited from the Bengals being in preseason mode week
100%.
One. You actually benefited from that, not
that's
the other way around. Uh-huh. Mark is in Connecticut. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Jones. So, I had a question for you. I think we might have a little bit of a fix for this offensive line. We have a guy on the practice squad. You can't teach size. This guy is 6'9", 370 pounds. Put the kid out there at left tackle. Tell him to put his arms out there and not let somebody come through. You can't teach size, I'm telling you. Put the kid out there.
Okay. You know, I don't think that
Yeah,
who's the guy? It was one of these late practice squad claims, and the guy is ginormous. Was it that DeMontre Jacobs guy? I don't think it was.
He's not listed that big. Jacobs is listed at 6'6", 315.
No, yeah, that's not the guy.
So he's a hoss.
They have a guy who's
somebody
like 6'8". They have a guy on the roster who's like 6'8" or 6'9". I know who he's talking about. I don't know the name off the top of my head.
He was the mountain in Game of Thrones. No, that's actually a bodybuilder. But
I would not be throwing
right,
that
why
gentleman
not?
Out there.
Like, but I mean, you might not be able to do a whole lot worse. I don't mind that.
I mean, I guess that's fair. How much worse are you going to do? I don't know.
No, but I guess their hope, believe it or not, would be you get low back and so back.
Low and so.
The low so. The solo combo.
The solo combo.
Solo. That's your left side of your line, right? It's not great. But then you have Andrews, and then you have probably, what, Laydon Robinson and Onwenu, and you hope for the best?
Yeah. So I don't feel
this
good
Caleb
about that.
Jones guy.
Thank
on
you.
The practice
Caleb
squad is 6'9".
Jones. Another
6'9",
Jones.
6'9", what?
6'9", 370.
Jesus H. Get him out there.
He's 25 years old. He's still growing.
Play him. Yeah, right. He might be bigger tomorrow.
Let me tell you.
Play him.
Let me tell you, if you're the Bruins, Swayman replacement.
Stick him in that.
Throw him in that.
Okay.
Let me tell you, that's not a bad
idea.
Now
the Bees have all the leverage.
Now you're talking. Now
no,
it swings back to them.
The caller's right. You can't teach size.
No, it's true.
Yeah, I've never heard that. But I also
I've
don't
been a
hate
victim
that
idea. Victim of that my whole life. This is what that
you
is.
Can try to teach it.
I taught it.
You
I,
can try.
I did a lot of teaching.
You won't learn.
There's not a lot of learning going on.
No, but stick that guy out there. At the very least, it's going to take longer for Nick Bosa to run around the side, isn't it?
That's your plan? Stick that guy out
there?
Yeah,
like, what
a good... I don't agree with that plan.
So right now the plan was... let's just go over the plan real quick, if you don't mind. Okorafor?
Yep.
That was the plan.
That's a poor plan by the Wolfpack. L.A. Wolf, yes.
Quit the team.
Yeah.
He quit
after 12 snaps. You got 12 snaps. Don't shortchange those.
Then Caden Wallace, who's a right tackle... No, Vidarian Law, but he got hurt. Then Caden Wallace, who's a right tackle, rookie.
Well, collegiate right tackle.
Right. There's a professional left tackle on Thursday Night Football.
Right.
And then DeMontre Jacobs. Did he stop anybody? Did he throw a block?
Not that I saw, no.
So why not bring the freak show off the practice squad, put him out there, see if he can pancake block a couple guys.
You know what? You got me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking
sold.
Me into it now. Yeah,
the plan hasn't been great. And maybe Elliott Wolf found a diamond in the rough, a giant, giant, shiny diamond.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. It doesn't
I mean,
tend
someone
to be
with
the,
giantism.
Yeah.
there's a disease for some of these guys that are so tall.
Yeah.
Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
You don't want him at left tackle?
No, pituitary gland or something
no.
like that. Yeah, you got to regulate your growth. Yeah.
Hogan slammed him in Mania 3, which is a big moment in time.
That's like what happened to Drake May.
Yeah, he got rock bottom.
Oh, he got rock bottom.
He got like scoop slammed. He barely got him up too.
My mistake.
Overrated move, right, Bill? Would you say the Hogan slam on Andre? Overrated.
Yeah, because anything like historians or videos you see, Andre's been... Spotty slammed multiple times before then.
All over the place got slammed.
But Hogan will tell you, oh, I tore
first
my
time
lat.
Ever.
First time
oh, he
ever.
Takes credit
I
for slammed that. The
I
giant.
Tore my lat right off the bone.
He takes credit for that. First one to do it, but he wasn't
oh,
the first
my
one
God,
to do
that
it.
Guy's got a stream of lies, though. He is literally never broken character.
It's true. But I say that to say, what's the guy's name again, Nick? What is it, Jones?
Caleb Jones?
Caleb Jones.
Jones.
Big man Jones.
Look out for number 76 in your programs
he's
on
a,
Sunday.
He's a 76. I'm surprised he's not the first three-digit. Number on a team. He's a big dude.
Listen, wait, 370. He's number 370 out
370,
there.
370, here he comes.
There he comes.
I don't hate it.
Number 370 in your program, number one in your hearts.
Also, so I know they've gone six offensive linemen quite a bit when in running plays. Don't you maybe mix it in for some passing plays? Like, if you're that concerned about it?
I think they've done some all-out protects, and they still can't protect Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, but not with this guy.
They haven't used this guy.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Ed Too Tall Jones, kid.
Line him up at fullback. Stand him right in front of Brissett. Can't see. I can't see any receivers down the field, but they can't get to him.
No, that's true.
That's not a bad way
to
do
it. What was the play this weekend where there was like a fumble and then another fumble? I'm trying to think if it was a college game. Was it the BC game? No. Was the game?
No, was it Michigan?
Yeah, no, it was. It was Michigan. Southern Cal, right? Yeah. Where like the big fella started running with it. And then the USC running back from Southern Cal was like, give me that. But that big guy's not ready to run with it much. Yeah.
Bob is in Brookfield. Go ahead, Bob. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say, I think coaching staff and ownership went into this season just trying to get better. Not necessarily wins and losses better, but I know for me as a fan, if they play hard 17 games, that means Mayo's really got a hold of this roster. If they start turning on him, you know, when you're 3-9.
What'd you think of game three?
You know you're in trouble.
Bob, what'd you think of game three?
Well, it's still the preseason.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm giving him horrible coaching, I guess, is what they got to work through. They got to work through this stuff. If you expect they're going to have a lot of wins, you're crazy.
Okay, well, fine.
Yeah, nobody's expecting a lot of wins.
It really turned on Thursday because I was with him through the first 2 weeks. I'm like, okay, they look like they're decently well motivated. I don't want to say well coached.
Run operation?
Yeah.
Ish?
Ish.
Well, not a lot of penalties. It wasn't sloppy.
Better than I thought.
Okay.
It was better than I expected it to be, but then Thursday was kind of all my worst fears.
Yeah.
So,
it's a big game coming up on Sunday.
If we fast forward to week 17 and you can tell me the team looked more competitive like they did the first 2 weeks, I'll say you're right. But I'm now nervous based on what we saw, as Keith just said, in week three.
Week three.
It seemed like guys are checking out and not ready to run through a wall anymore. They ran through the brick wall. They're not going to do it again.
Yeah.
And that makes me nervous.
Quick read some of the text line. Will Cole Strange be the savior? No.
I don't think so.
Someone calling right now. The Pats are going to beat the Niners. That person might be on drugs or alcohol.
That was me last week.
Okay,
that was me in a time machine.
Somebody pointing out when Lex Luger slammed Yokozuna. That was a huge deal. He did it on a boat.
Uh-huh. What about Big John Studd?
Big John Studd, I think, did slam
Andre. That was one who
Andre.
Slammed.
I think that's right. I think he might have slammed Andre at one point.
Nice.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. Keep
there
it
you
going.
Go. Text line is lighting it up there. 37937. We'll get back into Drake May, his timeline.
Is right now the moment where they're going to say, all right, we're just going to turn it over to Drake May? Didn't sound that way, just simply based on the comments of Alex Van Pelt and Gerard Mayo. But what is very evident here, Tom, is that it is coming. Whether it's next week, whether it's the week after, whether it's the middle of the season, it is clearly coming. And the Patriots, rather than put him out there, they've really tried to ease him in. You just hope at the end of all this that it is all absolutely worth it. No one's going to care that he came in and got hit a couple times against the Jets, but was that valuable to his development? The Patriots obviously hope yes. And pretty clear we will at some point fairly soon see Drake May.
Jones and Keefe, you're on WEEI. That was Ian Rappaport. NFL Network. Sounds like it's going to be soon.
Could be soon.
Week
four,
five. Drake May.
Week five on the table.
Five definitely sounds like it's in play. Burt Breer had some reporting on this as well on NBC Sports Boston that I want to get to. A reminder, we'll get to last week in review.
That's right. We didn't have a chance. It was so slammed on Friday.
What a busy Patriots Friday that was.
Yep.
After the Patriots got pants by the Jets.
Yeah, it didn't go great.
And went from what I thought could be, you know, a scrappy, frisky little team.
No, they're not.
Winning more games than you thought to arguably the worst team in the NFL.
Yep.
A lot turned on that.
Life comes at you fast.
So we had to bump the week in review to today. We'll get to that coming up about 10 minutes from now. So stay tuned for it. Burt also said, my understanding is the plan for Drake May to get out there.
All right.
Is going to happen at some point in 2024. This won't be a redshirt year.
Okay.
He said they'll be patient.
Oh.
But May's progress has gotten to a point where the expectation is he'll earn his way on the field relatively soon.
Week five, week six, very much in play.
Well, and so we all kind of feel that way, right?
Yes.
I don't want to speak for everyone out there. Perhaps you disagree. You can jump in if you do. 617-779-7937. But I think most people, once they committed to Jacoby Brissett to start the year, week one against Cincinnati, most people looked at it and said, Miami week five, Houston week six, those make sense. You're at home. That would be the time to do it. If they're angling to do that anyway, why not lean in on giving him the start this week against the Niners? I know they're not going to, but to have 10 days to get ready for it and really know you're going to be the guy, the team knows you're going to make the switch, it's a mini bye week, and oh, by the way, the Niners are more vulnerable than we thought. They're 1-2. They just lost to the Rambulance. The Rams aren't healthy. They're
Rams
beaten up.
Nobody.
They lost to that team.
No Nakua.
They lost to the Vikings the week before.
Right.
Like, the they really haven't been as good as we thought.
This is like a preseason thought on the Niners.
Yeah.
And like not holding them out against the Niners. Now, this would have made the most sense because it was the worst loss imaginable, just the way the whole game was played. Everybody, right? This isn't like just an offense problem with the Jets, but here's your opportunity to go to Drake May, and hopefully years down the road, we don't even remember that it was, you know, took 3 weeks to get him in there. You're like, oh, when was it? Oh, he started week four? Yeah, that's fine. But now that we're living in the moment, you're like, all right, why isn't he out there? Now, I think the whole idea of a redshirt year got thrown out the window as soon as the year began. When he was the backup, there was no chance it was a redshirt because Jacoby Brissett, was he going to last all year with a good O-line?
No.
Or is he going to last all year with a bad O-line?
No.
So when they moved on from Zappe and didn't bring in a replacement veteran guy, I was like, all right, we're going to see Drake May at some point this year. When they throw him into the game in garbage time, so you're not Mayo or Van Pelt, but for a lot of fans, they're so afraid to see him get hurt or the chance that he might get hit. They played him. They played him in the final drive. It actually was 16 plays. He did get hit. He got back up. He kept playing. But there's no veteran backup, and he got into a game already. So now, I mean, you kind of speed up the time because we knew it was a matter of when, not if he was going to play. But then once you see him, and I think it's going to work out this way. It's going to be maybe a coincidence, maybe not. Jacoby Brissett eventually is going to turn the ball over. Eventually.
It has to happen.
He can't go all year long with no picks, no fumbles. He's done it this far. But my prediction now is he either throws a pick or gets strip sacked in the game on Sunday. And then they're going to be like, all right, well, the one thing we need him to do is kind of unrealistic first
of all.
So now
you're done.
Now you're done.
Yeah.
That's how I think it's going to work out. And maybe that, again, maybe coincidence. Maybe the plan all along was week five. But just in my head, that's how it's going to work out.
Yeah. So I still think it's more calendar related, but that's fair. Maybe he turns it over and they're like, we can't do this anymore. Do you think we see Drake May this weekend? Like, do you think we're getting to a point now where it was like last year where Bailey Zappi's getting into a few games for Mac Jones and all of a sudden, well, if you're going to keep bringing him in the fourth quarter of all these games,
yeah,
the second half of all these games, you might as well make the switch. Do you think we see Drake May this weekend?
Yeah, I think we could. I mean, yes. If I had to answer it, I'd say yes.
Not starting, obviously.
No.
But in relief of Brissett at some point.
Because my answer was going to be, yeah, I think it's going to really depend maybe on the defense. Like, does the defense hold down the Niners? So we're also all banged up. There's no McCaffrey. There's no Debo. There's no Kittle. That's a MASH unit. It seems like it is most years, by the way. But those guys are all banged up. So if the defense does a decent enough job, maybe the game's close enough and they just kind of ride it out with Brissett and then May still starts, though. It's another loss. Maybe May still starts. But if they're giving up a bunch of points and if Juwan Jennings, who just had 3 touchdowns against the Rams, if he's flying around the field and the game is, I mean, it was 3 scores by the time they put May. It was down 21. So let's how about this? Maybe 20 is the magic number.
Yeah.
If they're down by 20, then yeah, he plays again.
Yeah.
And I bet they're probably down by 20.
Well, I mean, look, I haven't loved what I've seen out of the Niners, but that's definitely in play on the road,
yeah,
the way you just played against the Jets. So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, we have the Wolfpack, who I think is now taking a lot of heat. Deservedly so. It's been a mess.
People are on Elliott Wolf.
No, and you should be. And I keep saying it's a neat trick he's trying to pull where you can't play the quarterback. I think he's probably the one holding back the decision. Like Jerod Mayo after the game on Thursday was like, yeah, we got to look at it. And he left the door ajar to make a switch. And, you know, Greg said this to me this morning. I think he's right. They probably had a chat and they're like, yeah, you know what? We're not opening that door. It's not time. He's not ready. We're not going to him. So fine. So Mayo has to come in the next day and be like, yeah, yeah, Jacoby's our starter until I say he's not the starter. Until I'm told he's not the starter.
Right,
and then I tell you.
Exactly.
So I think Elliott Wolf is saying it's not time yet. The roster's not ready for him yet, which is fine. But then who built the roster? You. Oh, there's no offensive line. You can't play him. Who put that offensive line together?
He did. He put the line together.
There's no weapons to throw to. He put that together. And so I think now 3 weeks in, people are starting to look at it and go, hang on, you say the roster's not ready for the kid, and we all want to see the kid because no one wants to watch Jacoby Brissett, and you're the one preventing us from seeing Drake May, and you're the one who put together the roster? That's on you.
Oof.
And I wonder how much pushback he's getting from Mayo, and I don't think you can fight that for too much longer. If Brissett keeps doing nothing and keeps not moving the football, sooner or later the roster and the coaching staff is going to win out over Elliott Wolf and his slow plan with bringing along Drake May.
And the offensive line thing, it's not like it's in this shape because of 3 injuries. Like, it was in this shape the whole time. Like, this is how bad the offensive line was when he inherited it.
This was the vision.
And the only halfway decent linemen are guys he inherited. Right, like David Andrews was here. I know he re-signed on Wenu, but he was already identified and drafted by Belichick. And if you wanted to say City So, I know he's been hurt. Maybe he comes back this week. He was penciled in as a starter. He was also drafted last year. So as far as this draft and free agency and any kind of trade window, nothing. Brought in Okorafor, who like comically just left the team. And then you're left with rookies out of position, guys you claimed off the waiver wire. So everybody that Elliott Wolf has brought in straight up was not wanted on any other team. Like guys that were just available, guys that were cut by their teams from a year before, and now he's trying to like piecemeal it together. When we knew, hell, even last year at this time, the offense wasn't good. The very few Mac Jones people out there would still be like, well, the offensive line's trash.
Right.
Like, yeah, you're right. But there's a lot of other things that were trash at that time too. But the offensive line has been an issue for a while. Elliott Wolf had to have known that, did know that, and yet felt like they were going to be able to make do with who they have. Plus, you don't even have the Dante Scarnecchia. You could hand Dante Scarnecchia for years, not great offensive lineman, and get like a like you've overturned the coordinator and the offensive line coach every year for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And then you're expecting them to be able to make it a decent line. It's not happening.
So look, I'm annoyed with the coaching staff. I didn't like the game plan the other night. And forget the game plan. They weren't ready to go. That is on Mayo. And that was some of my initial frustration. I'm still frustrated listening to him talking about the 1-2 start and the Jets loss. I wish there was a little more passion and fire and anger there. But whatever, that's an aesthetic thing. They clearly weren't ready to go on Thursday. Wolf is catching some flack, and he should for his roster. Poorly constructed. It's not built to support a young quarterback. There's nothing on the team, really. You know, Kraft is somewhere on that list, too. They spent some money this offseason. They didn't spend $0 like they had the last couple of off seasons. But what parameters was Wolf working within to add talent? He could have done more than he did. I feel confident in that. You didn't have to bring back everybody on the roster who they paid money to. You didn't have to pick Chukwuma Okorafor. So I'm not letting Wolf off the hook, but I do wonder the parameters that were set for him and how much ownership deserves blame.
Yeah, I mean, they're the ultimate, like, they're at the top, so all those decisions get signed off by Kraft, so I think they're definitely on the list for sure. I just still think that if the plan all along involved Drake May sitting or at least not starting right away because of the state of the rest of the team, how on earth do you not utilize a higher draft pick on a lineman? I wanted Jalen Polk, don't get me wrong, or I was happy with Jalen Polk in the second round, but if it was at the expense of playing Drake May, then take a tackle in the second or trade up from the second into the first. If it's right. that important to get the guy now, just so you can see your number three pick, they should have done that. And then you could have found a receiver in the third round, right? Don't take Caden Wallace in the third round, take a receiver there. Because I just assumed, and I was wrong to assume this, that they would have drafted high quarterback wide out and then thrown money at tackle.
Done something around them. Yeah, Tyron
Smith. That seemed
like
to be the most obvious thing.
Who was the other? Jonah Williams got hurt, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But something like that.
Right, but at least it would have been a swing.
At least it would have been a plan.
Because not a core four. Because even when they signed a core four, everybody said, all the shows were saying, all right, that's fine like for depth, but he's not, I mean, is he your left tackle right now? Like he's maybe like a backup right tackle.
Right, he might be a swing tackle.
Like, no, he's a starting left tackle. You're like, what?
Okay.
So that was scary at that time, and it's just played out like we expected.
Okay, so you can jump in on all of this. How much blame for ownership? How much blame for Wolf? How much blame for the coaching staff? And when do we see Drake May? It should be Sunday against San Fran, but it's not going to be. When will it be if it's not this Sunday? Again, 617-779-7937. And we have last week in review next.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound. Get the chainsaw. Get everybody pile in the minivan. Chainsaw. We're going.
And worst.
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keefe's Week in Review.
The guy sucks. Get him out of here.
On WEEI.
All right. Week in Review normally on Fridays, but last Friday it was a Patriots Friday following a game. And there was a lot to discuss after the Patriots got smoked by the Jets. So we said, should we scrap it? No, we should not scrap it. We are going to do our Week in Review here on a Monday, Jones and Keefe. And let's begin with a new follow on Twitter, a new stats-based follow, maybe a little erotic as well.
He says what Brissett is doing best, sack avoidance
mm-hmm.
and protecting the ball. It's yes. not. It's not sexy.
No, no I guess
sack
not.
Avoidance is
no,
not.
No,
maybe the least sexy.
In fact, you want the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. You want. You don't want the avoidance there.
Yeah.
You want
all
you
over
know,
it.
Yeah. The opposite.
Oh, speaking
what's the opposite of avoidance.
The 413 on the text line. Did you say Boston sports nymph?
INF.
I'm sorry, Boston Sports Nymph?
Not
I'll look that up during the break.
Do not bing that on a work computer.
That's going to be somebody else
not
sitting
sexy.
On a gold mine. So there you go. So yes, Boston Sports Inf, which we have referenced here and there. I think all the shows do. Does a good job gathering Boston sports-related statistics.
Oh, yeah, we had a good stat from Boston Sports Nymph today on Andy Dalton.
I like that it's now Boston Sports Nymph.
Yeah.
I think most people do.
Lean in on that.
Yep, I think so.
Yeah, spice it up a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
We also had a, I think this was a texter with a good breakdown of what this show is.
One texter, 37937, Keith, maybe the best synopsis, I think, of the show.
Yeah, let's hear it.
New Hampshire. I'm going to blame New Hampshire for this.
Ooh, shout out.
603 text.
Granite State.
You guys broadcast in the soft fourth dimension.
Okay. I like that.
Within the confines of a fine sarcastic line.
Hmm.
It's hard to explain, and it's entertaining, but I think it may be making me insane.
Oh, okay. There's a lot in there.
I heard entertaining. That's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it. Boom. All I heard is they like it.
Like, here's what I said
keep
to Keith off
keep
the air.
Yep.
Sounds like another satisfied customer. That's what I think. That's a satisfied customer right there.
I was
there.
Like lost after that fourth dimension thing.
Soft fourth dimension.
Yeah, not the hard fourth
mean?
Dimension.
I'm not up on my dimensions. What does that mean? Call my friends at Northeast Men's Health.
Yeah. They can figure that out real quick.
Let's firm that up.
All right.
Soft fourth dimension.
No, I'll take that. That seems like a good thing overall.
That's a win.
Yeah.
That's a satisfied customer.
We'll see.
There's
not
a,
bad.
There's
not
a lot
bad at all,
fourth
Jones.
Dimension texts and tweets now ever since that went down. That was a good description of the show, I
Yeah,
like.
Some early feedback. I think it's that's been positive.
Yeah.
Also, I've known you a long time, but yet still I'm learning things about you.
Yes.
This was something from last Tuesday, which was news to me.
Joey Sly.
You're a sly guy.
Sly guy.
Too sly, sly.
Sly in the Family Stone.
Sly, sly.
Yeah.
That's Kajagoogoo.
Is that what? I got to be honest, that one went right over.
You don't know
Kajagoogoo?
Billy knows it. He's shaking his head in disgust, but he knows what I'm talking
what
about.
What is that? Is that a children?
Too Shy by Kajagoogoo. It's like Kajagoogoo. An 80s banger.
Kajagoogoo is an 80s banger.
Is it?
It's called Too Shy.
But what if you hear it, you'll have to.
Okay, if I hear it, I might know it.
But I changed it to Too Sly.
I gotcha.
Because it's... Are you serious?
I think I'm Vermont.
I know. Maybe any day now they might get Kajagoogoo.
Yeah, Delilah will play that at some point.
That's good.
It.
That's
yeah.
a. That's
just
a...
got Miami Vice.
Hey, got,
Miami Vice, number one new show.
Miami Vice, number one new show. Hey.
Stop. Hammer time.
Pretty good. Yeah, that one somehow slipped through the cracks up there.
Even on another re-listen, I'm more familiar with that song than I was last week.
We stumbled upon a Keefspiracy last week. I've been watching a lot of Sesame Street with the two youngsters, and this is a Keefspiracy. Not for the faint of heart. You want to know what my Count Von Count conspiracy theory is, or Keefspiracy?
Let's hear it.
So, Sesame Street, you know, famously Count Von Count.
Sure.
And yet, you never see him sucking the blood of any of the other Muppets.
No.
Ever.
There's always the implied threat.
You know what we've also haven't seen in many years? I've been watching a lot of Sesame Street recently. Snuffleupagus. I'm convinced he has Snuffleupagus chained up into his basement, and he feeds off of Snuffy.
Yeah.
He would have more blood than any other creature on that show.
Wasn't Snuffleupagus just an imaginary friend of Big Bird? Wasn't that the thing
that
Big
right?
Bird was the only one who saw him?
I don't think... No, that's a good theory, too, but
imaginary
I've heard...
Imaginary blood.
No, but other characters...
Well, you said the other day they're monsters.
Yeah.
So he probably can't feed off monster blood, so he would have to go after the humans.
Like a saber tooth.
You know what I mean? Like, that was the thing. It was like you said on Sesame Street, for the most part, those characters are monsters.
Most of them are monsters.
Right,
like Elmo's
so
a monster.
Can't survive off that.
It's a good theory, though.
Monster blood?
It's a good
Probably not.
These vampires need a well to go
well,
to.
Well, Snuffy isn't a monster, I don't think. He is like a wildebeest or whatever he is.
That's not human blood. He's not a wildebeest.
Is it an elephant?
Is that,
is that
yeah,
anything he is?
Some sort of.
I think Billy's right. I think he was Big Bird's imaginary friend originally.
Yeah.
But since then, like other characters talk to him.
He's like a woolly mammoth. Isn't he more like woolly mammoth?
Yeah, he's like a woolly mammoth.
Yeah, he's more woolly mammoth.
Or a blood bank. He's just Count's blood bank.
That's what he is.
Sadly
so where has he been?
Yeah.
And what have you done with him?
Count Von Count's castle.
You monster.
He shows up to Sesame Street, does his counting. Yeah, one, two, They're like, where's Snuffy, Count? Where's Snuffy? All right, we also stumbled upon just a great exercise, one of my favorite activities, just naming random baseball players from years past. Nice. This is when the White Sox got brought up. You guys remember how many saves Bobby Thigpen had in 1991?
Ron Karkovice, though?
Probably. Oh, yeah, Ron Karkovice. Yeah. He was like their second catcher.
Ron Karkovice.
Behind Pudge.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
A Fisk and Ron Karkovice.
I saw a thing on the internet the other day.
Ron Karkovice.
There was a photo of Ron Karkovice, and it goes, "This is Ron Karkovice, played for the White Sox."
Oh, nice.
He's 23 years old in this photo, even though he looks 45.
Sometimes there's this, because I'll be on like a text chat with buddies, we just name random athletes, and like that is one that makes you laugh out loud.
That's a good one.
Ron Karkovice.
Yeah, you kind of just retire it for the day. When somebody hits you with Ron Karkovice, you're like,
all right.
You win that one. We'll start up back up. Yeah, we'll start up Tuesday.
Get back to that tomorrow. But that's a good name.
Man.
Good pull. And then last week, Jones, we had our first of what could be many scoop-offs at WEEI. This is a big
controversy.
Yeah, a lot of controversy as it related to some Jeremy Swayman scoops that I have received, Courtney Cox in the Morning Show has received. And so here's just a quick mashup of what happened last week.
I was told a deal is done.
Done.
Wow.
Done.
Oh, done.
Yes.
Okay. So how's your sourcing on this?
Sourcing is good.
Why, is it solo sourcing? Do we have a backup? What's the...
Two sources.
Two sources. Cocoa bomb.
Rich Keefe might have to step aside after this one.
I was told deal is done.
Okay.
Wow.
Are you ready for a scoop-off?
We might have ourselves an old-fashioned scoop-off. I'm kind of hearing the opposite. So you saw me earlier today working the phones.
Oh.
You saw me in the back room working the phones.
So many phones.
A deal has not been done, from what I understand. They're going to begin camp without him. So I told you that the Swayman asked for 10.
Asked for or demanded?
Asked for.
Asked for.
Asked for. It's a negotiation, Jones.
He didn't demand it.
No, he asked for 10.
Interesting.
I don't believe the Bruins will go north of 8.
We're out there this morning that it was a done deal with Swayman. That's obviously... not true, not correct.
It's 100% inaccurate.
All right. There you go. There is the scoop off.
In case I left any gray area.
No, 100% inaccurate.
Couldn't be less accurate, actually. So the scoop off, score one for Keith.
Yep, that's all right.
But I will say this. There are a lot of beat writers. This is not just Courtney. I said this last week. I'll reiterate. A lot of beat writers were hinting at something was close, and if not outright hinting at it, certainly characterizing it as... it'll get done.
Oh, selling a bill of goods.
That was the sentiment all offseason from all the beat, right? It'll get done. Don't worry about it. It'll get done. It's going to happen. Of course it's going to happen. And Keith's been right on this for a long period of time. In fact, I've heard more and more national, Elliot Friedman, and local beat writers. I heard Fluto talking about this. They're not close. It's not close, and you heard it from Don Sweeney last week, and you would have known that if you just listened to Scoops, Keith.
That's it.
That's all
we got to say.
So that's last week in review.
There you go. That's it. Last week in review.
Very productive week around these parts. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to your thoughts. We'll also get back to Carolina making a quarterback switch. Is it time for the Patriots to do the same? That's next.